One kingdom under God. If you're anxious about the uncertainty facing our country, exhausted by the division and discouraged by the constant stream of crises over the past several years, then my hope and my prayer this morning is that something from today's message would encourage you and provide you with some hope for the future, especially as we discuss having a kingdom first mentality. I'm very thankful to have been born in the United States of America. Here in the United States, we have so many freedoms and blessings and rights that are protected that so many other people in the world today do not have. And throughout human existence, so many people throughout the world have not had. I'm incredibly grateful for the countless men and women who have sacrificed their lives to defend our rights and our freedoms. We gathered together today in safety to worship our amazing Creator without fear of persecution, without fear of being arrested, and without fear of losing our lives. And when we look at what's happening around us in the world today, especially with the tragedy and the war in Ukraine, we see that this is a freedom so many other people still don't have today. So I'm thankful to be in the U.S. But we are not a perfect people. We are not a perfect nation. We are human and we make mistakes. We make errors. Our nation, our country has made mistakes. We've done more than make mistakes. There have been times when we have allowed evil to exist in our land. For the first 100 years of our nation's existence, we allowed slavery to exist legally in our borders. That is not a mistake. That is evil. We are not a perfect people. We are not a perfect nation. We are a divided country. It seems sometimes now more than ever. We are not perfect. And there's an error that I see a lot of Christians make, especially American Christians. When we place our nationality, or maybe our political opinion, anywhere near the same level as of importance as our Christian faith. That's what the world does. That's not what we should be doing. Because as followers of Jesus, we are called to be more than citizens of one nation under God. We are called to be ambassadors of one kingdom under God. And when we settle for one nation, we miss out on what God has in store for those who set their minds and their hearts on one kingdom. But before we begin today's conversation, we need to cover two things. We need to cover what is the United States of America, which obviously we all know, but we're still going to go over it. And then, of course, what is the kingdom of God? So first, what is the United States of America? Established in 1776, we all know this, the United States of America is a federal republic of 50 states covering a vast swath of North America. We all know this. We grew up here. We live here. We went through history class. But we can be a little bit more specific in the context of today's conversation. So I got three quick points about what the United States is. The United States is human. As we discussed, the United States is made of human. It is a human endeavor. And as we all know, as scripture says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Meaning, by that logic, everything we do and everything we create through our own human effort will also fall short of the glory of God. Second point is the United States is temporary. We were established in 1776. When you look at all of the nations and the countries around the world today, the United States is a relatively young nation. We're less than 250 years old. And not only that, but the United States is temporary. Now, I'm not a prophet, and I'm not saying I know when the United States will cease to exist as we know it. But we know that it is temporary because this earth is temporary. Everything we know here is temporary. It will at some point fall away. We've been discussing the end times over the past several weeks, and maybe the United States will exist up to the end times. I don't know. Maybe it'll fall before then. I don't know. But the United States is temporary. And the United States is also limited. We are limited in our geography. We are located in North America. We are also limited in our resources, and we are limited in our population. Today, the population of the United States only makes up a little over 4% of the current global population. We are a limited people. And when you also think of just all of the Americans who have existed in our less than 250 years of existence, that's still such a small percentage of all of human existence. The United States is limited. Now let's contrast this with what is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is God's eternal spiritual rule over all of the universe and the fulfillment of God's will. The concept of the kingdom of God, and it's also labeled as the kingdom of heaven, is located all throughout the scriptures. It is located and mentioned several times in the Old Testament, and it's featured very prevalent and heavily in the New Testament. In fact, Jesus's entire earthly ministry is about establishing the kingdom of God here on earth and inviting us to participate in it. A great example of this is the parables of Jesus. We've all heard the parables of Jesus. We've heard them in sermons most of the time. The parables are almost always Jesus describing what the kingdom of heaven is like. And the Sermon on the Mount, which is this passage of a bunch of incredibly famous teachings of Jesus, everything in the Sermon on the Mount is drawing a distinction between what life is in the kingdom and what life is here on earth. In the Sermon on the Mount, as we all know, there's also the Lord's Prayer, which is when Jesus was teaching us how we should pray. And many of us know this. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And of course, many of us could probably go on from there, but I just want to pause for a moment and just focus on this. Because Jesus, when teaching about life in the kingdom and teaching us how we should pray, when he begins this prayer, first he acknowledges God as our Heavenly Father. Second thing he does is he praises him for his holiness. But then the first request that Jesus makes in his prayer is that God would establish his heavenly kingdom here on earth and fulfill his will. That should not be taken lightly from those of us who follow Jesus. I've got three more points about what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is perfect because our heavenly Father is perfect. God is perfect. He can do no wrong. He makes no mistakes. So, of course, his eternal spiritual rule, by that logic, would also be perfect. His kingdom is perfect, as is his will. The kingdom of God is also eternal. While the United States is temporary, the kingdom of God is eternity. We can't even grasp our mind around that concept. But it will exist forever and ever. And we could go in a little deeper into this concept because it's interesting when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, because they refer to it as something that is coming, and they also refer to it as something that is present. Because the kingdom exists through Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit, meaning those of us who choose to follow Jesus are a part of the kingdom. So it exists in its presence here today. But it also is something that is coming, because the will of God is yet to be fully realized and fulfilled here on earth. So the kingdom of God is also coming. And as you know, we've been talking about the end times, at some point God will come and establish his physical kingdom here on earth. So the kingdom of God is eternal. And then the other point is the kingdom of God is limitless. While the United States is restricted to its earthly boundaries, the kingdom of God isn't. Because if God's rule is over all of existence, over all of eternity, over all of the universe, that means his kingdom knows no bounds. But if you want to reduce it a little bit more, that means it's also global. The United States of America isn't global. It's easy for us to focus on what's happening to the church and the believers in our nation's borders, but we have to remember there are believers all around the world, and we are one body in Christ. The kingdom of God is limitless. So obviously, we could, those who have chosen to follow Jesus, we could all probably agree that, yes, the kingdom of God is superior to the United States of America. But still, so many of us choose to see the world through a nation-first lens. Or, and when I talk about a nation-first mindset this morning, I want to be clear that it also means whatever your political view is, when we choose to see the world through our political lens of the way we vote, of what party we belong to, whether we're Republican or Democrat or liberal or conservative or libertarian or pescatarian or librarian, whatever it is, these are the lenses that we choose to see the world. And the church does it today too. And that's because nation first and political first mindsets are natural to us. This is how the world operates. This is how we operate in our naturally sinful way, because we want to lean on our own understanding rather than trust God. An interesting point is that when you look throughout the history of the Jews in the Old Testament, they kept asking God for a king. They wanted a physical ruler, a king to rule them. And God warned them several times, you guys don't know what you're asking for. You don't want a king. I am your king. But they kept asking him for it. So of course, he gave them kings. And there were some good kings and there are some bad kings, but none of the kings were perfect. They all made mistakes. Because nation first and political first mindsets are natural. So of course, that is going to be our first, as humans, that's going to be our first mode of operation. But as Jesus followers, we are called to something greater. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Yes, having a political mindset or a nation-first mindset is natural, but don't conform to the pattern of this world. We have to trust in God. We are called to something greater. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We are called to be greater than citizens of one nation under God. We are called to be the ambassadors and make God's appeal through us here on earth. So my question and my challenge for you today is, are you prioritizing a kingdom first mindset, or are you settling for less than what God has in store for you? And I have four quick truths today about what it means to be living in a kingdom first mindset. First truth today is, nation first mindsets create anxiety. Kingdom first mindsets create inner peace. Americans are stressed today. Of course, we all know this. Most of us are probably stressed about the uncertainty facing our country and facing our world. In fact, the American Psychological Association published a poll just last month in March about the current stress levels in America. Here are a couple of the highlights. 87% of those polled say that it feels like there has been a constant stream of crises without break over the last 2 years. 73% agree that they are overwhelmed by the number of crises facing the world right now. 87% say the rise in prices of everyday items due to inflation is a significant source of stress in their lives. And 81% say the current global uncertainty is a significant source of stress. you're facing a lot of uncertainty today, and that causes a lot of anxiety and stress. The APA also published a poll in 2020 about our last presidential election. It said that two-thirds of U.S. adults say that the 2020 U.S. presidential election is a significant source of stress in their life. And that was an increase in the numbers from 2016. Because each year, we are communicated by our nation's leaders and by the media that this election is more important than any other election that's happened. That the stakes for this election are even higher. Maybe there's some truth to that. But it creates anxiety. It makes us overwhelmed. It makes us feel like the future of the world and our nation is all up to us. It's only on us. We are solely responsible, and that creates such a heavy burden on the minds and the hearts of Americans. It's overwhelming. But I have good news. It's not all up to us. Because our Heavenly Father, the Maker and the Creator of the universe, is sovereign over all nations. All nations. Even the United States of America. And scripture is clear that all authorities and all kingdoms and all leaders and all governments fall before the authority of our Creator. It's not all up to us. We shouldn't have to be so anxious about the future and the uncertainty of our nation. Also, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes a point to talk about anxiety. And many of us have heard this before. It's found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't we know it? Seek first the kingdom of God. So with the future of our nation, with all the uncertainty in the world, as a follower of Jesus, are you willing to seek first his kingdom and trust that God has it worked out, that God has it in his plans? Second point this morning is, the second truth is, nation-first mindsets create division, but kingdom-first mindsets create unity. When we see the world through a nation-first mindset, or whatever our political view is, division will naturally result from that, because a nation-first mindset causes us to see our differences in each other before we see our similarities or before we see our commonalities. There's a good chance many of you here this morning may not hear or listen to anything someone says because you happen to know the way that they vote. That is division. That we're putting our political lens and our political boundaries and filters before any potential relationships. And there's also a great chance some people in your life won't listen to anything you have to say because they know the way that you vote. And this is a dangerous thing for Jesus followers, because that means some people may not listen to your testimony, may not listen to what you have to say about the love of Jesus, because they know the way you vote, and because you're too busy talking about the way that you vote. You're too busy talking about political issues to talk about Jesus. And it creates this idea that being a follower of Jesus means you have to vote a certain way. And so if I don't want to vote a certain way, then I don't want to follow Jesus. And this is an incredibly dangerous thing for our church today. Sorry to break the news to you. Jesus wasn't a Republican. Jesus wasn't a Democrat. He wasn't a conservative. He wasn't a liberal. He wasn't a libertarian. He was Jesus. He existed on the earth 2,000 years ago. America's only been here less than 250 years. Division is also profitable. And so nation-first mindsets just feed into the profitability of division in our nation. Because if I can convince you to be afraid of a certain group and convince you that I can help protect you from that group, there is a lot of money to be earned there and a lot of power to be gained there, because division is profitable. It is the way of the world. The kingdom is the other way. The kingdom of God is completely backwards and upside down. It's like an inverted reflection of how we operate here on earth. Because in the kingdom of God, we are all one in Jesus. Galatians 3:28 says, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." A kingdom-first mindset causes us to see each other as equals, even when we don't agree. In the kingdom, having a kingdom-first mindset, unity will naturally flow out and follow from that. And I want to encourage you with something. Being united is not a result of human effort. It is a result of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Think about fruit for a second. When you go to an apple orchard and you see apples growing on the tree, you don't see the tree desperately trying to squeeze the fruit out. Because what is fruit? Fruit is the natural result of the growth and the life that is happening on the inside. And it's the same thing with all the fruits of the Spirit that are listed up there. We're not, as Jesus followers, supposed to look at this list and see it as a to-do list and say, you know what, today, I really need to love more. Today, I really need to try to be good. Today, I really need to try to be more kind. Because if it were that simple, if it were up to us, then there would be no need for Jesus. But it's not simple. It's not up to us. These are results of having the Holy Spirit, the gift of Jesus, the Holy Spirit alive and active in us. And imagine a world where believers and the world was more, had more love, had more joy, was at peace, was kind, was faithful. We could practice self-control. What would be the result of that? The result of that would be unity. We'd be a more united church. We'd be a more united nation. So unity is a result of the Holy Spirit. Third truth today is kingdom first mindsets cause us to prioritize what's right over our rights. I'll let you read that one again. As you said before, I'm very thankful to be in the United States of America, and we have this amazing document called the U.S. Constitution. And in the U.S. Constitution, included in that, we have the Bill of Rights, and then we have all the other amendments that follow it. And the Bill of Rights say the things that we have the right to do as American citizens. These are the things we can do. There's one amendment particular in the Bill of Rights. It's the Ninth Amendment, and it pretty much lays out that we acknowledge that American citizens, that people, have more rights than those laid out in the Bill of Rights. And of course, we've had other amendments follow that. But it's led us to an interesting point today, because there's And of course, we all notice this. There's an ongoing culture war of whose rights now supersede whose rights. You know what I mean? Because we've gotten to a point, if I have the right to do and say and be who I want to be, we're at a point now that might interfere with your right to be and say and do what you want to do. So, of course, as a result of that, we've also had federal, state, and local laws. Because while the Bill of Rights in the U.S. Constitution tells us these are the things you can do, we've also, just so people don't go totally crazy, we have to have an even longer list of things. Okay, yeah, but you can't do these. Bill of Rights says what we can do. The laws say what we can't do. But in the kingdom of God, which is ruled by Christ's law, Christ's law says what we should do. The term Christ's law is a bit of an older term, but it basically just defines Jesus's one commandment for his followers. And that can be found in Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. Someone asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second one is like it, meaning the second one is equal, that both of these two things have to operate together. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. The kingdom of God is operated by Christ's law, telling us what we should do. And yes, as citizens of the United States, we have the Bill of Rights. We have the freedom to do certain things. But we're called to use our freedom, not for ourselves, but to advance the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Great. Yeah, we're called to be free. That's awesome. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. We are given rights in our nation. And as American citizens, we should defend those rights. But as followers of Jesus, we're called to follow the example of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset, a kingdom first mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus had every right. Jesus, the Son of God, God in a body, God in flesh, had every right when he was here to use his ability and his status as God to his advantage. But he didn't. He chose to prioritize what was right over his rights. He chose to prioritize the will of his Father. He chose to prioritize the kingdom of God, and it cost him his life, but that didn't stop him. The fourth and final truth this morning is kingdom first mindsets make our nation better. Imagine a world where everyone who claimed to be a believer and a follower of Jesus had a kingdom first mindset, where we let the Holy Spirit changed the way we view the world around us, and we began to view the world the way that God sees the world. Imagine a world. Can I tell you something? It already changed the world. It shaped Western civilization. Western civilization, the way we think, that our concepts of equality, our concepts of human rights, they exist because Jesus did. Because when Jesus was here on earth, the world operated in one mode, and that was might made right. Might made right. If I was in power, anything I say goes. But Jesus changed that. And his follower of believers who chose to see the world the same way that he does, they took down an empire. They changed Western civilization, and it went on to influence the creation of our nation. The U.S. Constitution and our Bill of Rights exists because of the teaching and the ministry and the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And the founders of our nation, they knew this, that they were not perfect men, but they knew this. They founded our nation with a kingdom first mindset, prioritized, because James Madison, who's known as the founder or the father of the U.S. Constitution, he's quoted as saying, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Because they had kingdom first mindsets, and they knew that our U.S. Constitution and our Bill of Rights could not exist without a kingdom first mindset. Because then it gets rid of the problem of, well, do my rights interfere with your rights? Because we're not focused on our own rights. We're focused on the rights of others. We're prioritizing the needs and the rights of others before our own. And that makes our nation better. As followers of Jesus, we are called to be more than citizens of one nation under God. We are called to be ambassadors of one kingdom under God. And to help you this week, and challenge you a bit, I have a few application questions to leave you with. First application question is, am I turning to the good news more than fill in the blank news? Literally, fill in the blank with whatever news you go to. CNN, Fox, ABC, maybe it's just Facebook or Twitter. Are you turning to the good news, which is Jesus, which is the gospel of Jesus, more than you are to the news of the world? And I'm not saying don't read the news and watch the news. I read and watch the news. I think it's important that we stay informed as believers so we can pray for what's going on. But where are you spending a majority of your time? Are you watching the news? Are you focused on everything that's happening? Because that leads to a nation first mindset, and that leads to division and anxiety. Or are you spending a majority of your time in scripture? And in prayer and in conversation with Jesus, because that helps us shape a kingdom first mindset. Second question is, am I prioritizing what's right over my rights? This is a difficult one. And again, I want to be clear, as citizens of the United States, we should defend our rights, but we can't miss out on our more important calling to prioritize the rights of others and stand up for others. And the last question, and the most important one, do I know my place in the kingdom of God? Are you today secure in the knowledge that you exist in the kingdom of God? Because if you're not, that's where you have to start. And Jesus in scripture is very clear on how we enter the kingdom of God. We enter the kingdom of God through repentance. We enter the kingdom of God through accepting the gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus gave to us when he died on the cross for our sins. And I want to be clear this morning. Being a follower of Jesus is so much more than going to heaven when we die. It's not just about knowing, hey, I'm going to exist eternity in heaven. It's about experiencing the kingdom of God here on earth while we're still living and being a part of it and shaping the world, changing the lives of those around us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'd like everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes this morning. And I have one prayer this morning, but it's for all of us here today. If you've never made the decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'd ask that in the quietness of your heart, if you just repeat the words that I'm about to say. Maybe not the exact words. You can change it if you need to. Say it the way that you need to say it. But I just ask that you would take this moment, if you haven't, to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior so that you can experience the fulfillment of God's will and you can know that you belong in the kingdom of God. And if you have already made this decision, I'd ask that you'd also pray along this prayer as a reminder and as a fresh starting point going forward so that we can help advance the kingdom of God. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for today. I thank you for this word, and I pray that something in today's word would stick with us and challenge us as we leave this place and go throughout our regular lives, Lord. I pray that you would forgive us. Forgive us for the mistakes we have made. Forgive us for prioritizing living our own lives before advancing the kingdom. And forgive us for prioritizing a nation first or a political mindset before we think about your kingdom. We ask that you would lead us as our Lord and Savior, that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit through your power, through your love, and that we would change the world around us, that we would prioritize your kingdom and watch as it changed lives, not through our own power, but through yours, Lord. I thank you for everyone here today. I thank you for everyone who's listening to this message and watching online at home. We give all the glory to you, God. In your name, amen.